Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I hope you are having a super happy, fun time, fabulous Friday evening. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about you guys, but I hope the weather's been okay for you. Quick drinky-poo there. The weather has been absolutely beautiful over here. Oh my goodness. There's been like no wind or very little breeze. The sun is shining. The frost on the trees is like so thick right now. It is just straight white. Thick. It's thick. And it is just, oh my goodness, it is absolutely beautiful. I have got no complaints with the weather as of late. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Just give me a second. Just getting my computer to load. Come on, Reddit. Whoa, I just had my Reddit go totally German. That's kind of weird. That's okay. So I hope everybody is doing super amazing. Happy fun time this evening. Hold on here 1 second. Having a little bit of issues on the back end here. One more second here. Okay, here we go. Perfect. Oh my goodness, you guys, I have so much stuff that I could chit-chat about tonight. This world has just been a while. I don't know about you, but like shit is hitting the fan absolutely everywhere. I have been following a little bit of what's been going on Twitter here and there. TikTok is on fire. Twitter is on fire. All of this stuff that's happening in the United States right now is just absolutely next level. I have no words. I'm just going to put it that way. I have all the words, but I have no words right now. Everything is just totally loony bin, totally Looney Tunes. Like, it's just, it's absolutely next level, to put it nicely. To make myself feel a little better, I think it would be fun if I could read a couple of the Am I the Asshole? Because I've been really getting into a lot of these lately, these Am I the Asshole Reddit, Reddit threads. These have just been absolutely wild. I don't know if you guys are on any of these. If you go on Reddit, there's always some neat stuff happening on Reddit, always some neat stuff happening on Twitter. Always some fun stuff. Honestly, just a little business tip here for anybody that's out there listening. If you're not starting your own stuff, especially if you're in like network stuff or like news stuff or anything, like join like a million platforms, there's like outside of like Facebook and Twitter, there's always stuff going on in Gab. There's always stuff going on in Minds. There's always stuff going on like Parler and a Sorority. If you're in the United States and you're kind of a Trumper or like, you know, a Make America Great, not even so much like a Trumper, but like a conservative right wing, I would strongly suggest you join Sorority. I had my friend Charles Perserno, God bless his soul and rest in peace, but I miss the shit out of you. My friend Charles Perserno actually got me to join that website. There's also another one that's kind of like Tumblr. It's called Red Pill, Blue Pill. That one's also okay, pretty decent. If you like Tumblr, you'll like that one. But if you like kind of like a Facebook mashup with like Craigslist kind of thing, you'll really like Sorority. But it's pretty like right-winger there. So again, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't want to deal with those right-wingers, that is very much not the website for you. But Sorority is absolutely great. Get everywhere. If you want to actually like know what's going on and stay updated with what's happening in the world, get to be everywhere. I might have a fun project coming forward with you guys, with a friend of mine. We're working on something on behind the scenes that we're working on. He's actually working on Forum and working on his own network and stuff like that. He's a really, really good friend of mine. And when going, I'm going to try and help here or there. We're going to try to work together on his stuff there. When that gets going, I'm also going to be letting you guys know that that is going to be an incredible place to go chill out, hang out. Feel free to say what you want to say. He's very much for, like, no censorship. He's very much for, like, you know, like, you should be able to say what you want to say. I mean, granted, there are, you know, some fine lines when you're threatening to kill somebody. Be ready for the clapback. But overall, he's got an amazing project that he's working on. So when he gets that up and going, I'm most certainly going to share that with you guys, because I am very much, this last little while, I've been really working on networking and kind of, how do I say this? Being everywhere and helping who I can. And then secondarily, just kind of working and rolling with the smaller platforms. Like, I really like the smaller platforms because people are a lot more personable. And when people show up to those platforms, they want to be able to say the things they want to say and be able to hear people at the same time. I'm finding personally in my walks in life just this last little while, I'm going to get back to the red hair stuff in a minute, but I find this personally just this last little while is that people are really, everybody is begging to be heard, but very few people are willing to listen. And I find that on the smaller platforms, especially, or that the more like freedom of speech platforms, a lot more people are actually willing to sit and listen for many reasons that, you know, they're tired of not being heard and they actually want to go out of the way to make sure that other people are heard. First thing. Second thing, on a lot of these smaller platforms, and I'm going to get into this at some point, just the mind control and stuff, the addiction. Because I've watched and studied extensively a few years ago about the addiction of social media, especially things like Facebook, where there are literally people who are paid to try to watch how you operate and then try to essentially keep you on Facebook as long as possible, because the longer and more you're on Facebook and attached to things like Facebook, the more information they can get out of you, and then they, you know, sell it to third parties and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that comes with, you know, the government knowing your every single fucking step. This is something that people don't realize, is that when the government is always five steps ahead of you, no matter what you do, and they're able to come in with their psyops and their controlled opposition and things like that, they're literally watching you, and what they do is, like, analyze your every move, and then they plan the next step. They're always planning the next step ahead. But I don't find this as much on this. I'm not to say that they don't take any information. Like, I know MeWe doesn't, but I can't say any other platforms don't. I doubt they do, just because they understand and realize that this is kind of really corrupt bullshit, and they also don't like to be under Big Brother's eye with all of this stuff and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. That being said, there's also not the algorithms, the targeted algorithms on smaller platforms like MeWe or Celority or things like that, or like the one that my friend is making. There's not these targeted algorithms. It's very slow, and I find that this can be really annoying to some people that need to have something that they only want to see. There's that I want to say crapshoot, but it's not the crapshoot. It's the echo chamber. There we go. That echo chamber where they only want to see certain things they want to see, and then when they're exposed to anything outside of that, they literally can't stand being exposed to anything outside of that. So Facebook is really, really bad for that, I find. But then they're also getting really crazy on the censorship too. And, like, there's the things happening on Twitter, and that's another discussion for, you know, later on. But these smaller platforms are great for that, where it's like, you know, it is slower. And then, like, you know, you don't have this constant feeling of, oh my God, I need to be on Facebook because, you know, there's all these things happening and it's happening without me. You know, it's like things are happening at a realistic time pace. Like MeWe, they did change their algorithms just a little bit because before when I signed up, they only had things posted when people were posting. So the frustrating thing is if you didn't go on in the morning, you would never see what the people post in the morning. You would only see what the evening people post, or if you didn't go on in the evening, you only saw what the morning people post. So there was a big gap in being able to communicate with the people that you had added as contacts or friends or whatever. I think they're called contacts on MeWe versus friends. On Facebook, they call them friends. Whereas on MeWe, they're contacts. That's also in a little psychological they do on you that is like, you know, you see these people in a different light. It's just the whole connotation of the word, the context of the word that's attached, something like that. So they did, MeWe did change it a little bit, but again, it's still very, very slow. And there's a lot of articles and things being shared on MeWe versus Facebook where you have these articles that are being shared are being nailed for misinformation and false information and shit like that. MeWe is way better for that. There is some censorship on MeWe, like when the whole Trump thing went down, there was like a couple of Trumper groups off MeWe that did get deleted, which was really unfortunate just because the whole January 6th thing. And I know a lot of them just kind of deleted them just because they didn't want to get the heat that, like, you know, Elon Musk is fucking getting now. And we all know that he's already in with, you know, the World Economic Forum. We know he's in. Like, he just did a deal with Bill Gates not that long ago. They're business partners now. And there's also other shit going on. We know that he's, you know, the controlled opposition and blah, blah, blah. But the point being that he's also taking a lot of heat from a lot of these people where a lot of this is going on. So if you are really, truly, deeply looking for, you know, freedom of information and freedom of communication, definitely go with the smaller platforms. And again, when my friend gets his thing going, I am most certainly going to share with you because he's so excited. He is so incredibly excited for his stuff. I just don't want to release too much details right now while he's working on it just because. But when he gets it going, I'm most certainly going to share with you guys because I really want a lot of people that are freedom people to go over there and to support him because he has the biggest heart and he has the most incredible ideas. He's an incredible individual. And like all these people that I have in my circle are just absolutely incredible. They're mind-blowing individuals and the work that they do is so next level. You know, even here on Freedomizer with the team of people that are here or the other endeavors that I've done in life, like these people have such big hearts and they have the most brilliant ideas. They're so fucking smart. It's just absolutely incredible. Here I am just going on a, like a tearful, like a tearful thing. This is so like, these people are just absolutely incredible. I love having the circle that I have. But anyway, all right, here we go. Am I the asshole? I figure, you know what, with the new show, Open World and stuff, okay, so essentially the context of this show, hi everybody, I'm your host, Sam here. I was on Freedomizer for a long time, doing Against the Grain. Then for a while I was kind of going my own way simply because I couldn't commit to the time that was required to be on the show. I have a whole ass garden. I have started doing collaborative projects with the Fringe Farm Network, doing collaborative projects with, why can't I think? I run a farmer's market. It's Fringe Farm Network, farmer's market. I do some work with Freedomizer now. I have a couple other things going, private things and a couple other things. Again, I don't want to share too many details while those things are underway just because, you know, when they happen, I'll let you know. Et cetera, et cetera. So I took a little bit of a turn when I wasn't able to commit to the time that it required. So I did dip out for a little while and then tried to do my own thing, but then that just kind of fell to the wayside in favor of doing gardening and things like that because I am a big advocate and very passionate about growing your own food, making your own remedies, care of yourself. Before you can take care of anybody else. because that would put a big dent into the strain that is on the system, especially in healthcare, where a lot of people simply don't know how to take care of themselves. And further on the show in the future, I would like to do some shows going over health stuff and stuff, doing some specific shows on those kinds of things. But at some point, you know, that'll be just down the line. So I'm back again, just kind of piddling here or there where I can, doing just kind of chit-chatting. It's been a while since I've done anything like this, and focusing on things like that, making these things work. I don't even really know what else to say. That's kind of the premise of my show. Open world video gaming, love to video game. So at some point when Freedomizer does have the capacity to live stream, I will be doing that, playing video games and talking to you guys about world events, things that are going on. A lot of natural law. My interests are quite a lot of natural law, specifically. And as I was saying, I was the previous host of Against the Grain. So it's going to be essentially Against the Grain with the show Open World. Talking more than just interviews, because my interests have expanded. And while I am very much into hearing people's stories and I would love to continue doing that, I also would like to continue doing other things. So I am revamping this and repackaging it as Against the Grain, but coming to you with Open World, and essentially Open World in video game speak, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But Open World is kind of an open concept where people can come and go, kind of thing. So it's like taking the next step to a game. And so I'm back doing these things with a whole bunch more knowledge, a whole bunch more life experience, a whole bunch more new connections and new information and stuff like that. So this is going to be really interesting. And I hope this gets someone underway. I don't know how often I'll be here just because life keeps happening for me, but I will make my best attempt to be here as much as I can, when I can, when I'm supposed to be here. So thank you for joining me for today. That's absolutely incredible. And I look forward to seeing your beautiful faces in the future here or there. That would be awesome. That being said, back to the Am I the Asshole on Reddit? Now, again, this is kind of like my guilty pleasure, these Am I the Asshole on Reddit things. And I love to read these because I love to see the perspectives from people and in their situations and how they're describing. I really like psychology. I've been doing a deep dive into things like hypnotherapy and psychological mind control and mind control techniques and things like that. And in the nearer future, I would love to try to compile some more 1-2-3-step information to bring to you guys, as well as literature that I've been reading, possibly reading a chapter or like half a chapter or things like that to you. I feel, especially over the last 2 years, that the mind control psyop that we have been put through, most people are catching on that they were put through a psyop. However, the psyops and things that they continue to put us through to divide and control us, they are so blatantly apparent when you know what you're looking for. It's hard to really look for when you're kind of in the middle of it. You have to really, really have a keen eye. And even then, like even myself, for somebody who's been studying this for a little while privately, and I'm not near as good as there's, you know, people like, what's his name, David Schneider. If you go to YouTube and look up David Schneider, that guy is absolutely next level incredible. When it comes to being able to mind control people or to point out mind control, I'll have to get some books and stuff to show you guys, and we'll go over some stuff in these books to kind of really point this out. Again, like I'm not going to go over the entire book. Going forward, any sort of book literature or anything like that, I would strongly recommend that you support the author and buy the book from the author, because Lord knows we all need the money right now. But if you can't, there are options out there that are, you know, free. Go to your library, see if your library can buy it for you. Definitely support your library. Libraries are so flipping incredible, and the amount of information that is being slowly lost and stuff, like libraries are number one. You have no idea how privileged and how much of an honor it is to have a library in your community. So support the library where you can, because you have no idea how awesome these facilities are and the people that run these facilities. They are next level smart and they're awesome. Anyway, so I love to look at these Am I the Assholes just to kind of see what's going on in people's heads, what's going on in people's situations, stuff like that. and they're always fun. They're always fun to read, especially when you have one that, like, yeah, there is. They're most certainly the asshole. Okay, here's one that I just pulled up 6 hours ago. Am I the asshole for pulling my pants down and showing my husband my underwear after he insisted that I was on my cycle when I wasn't? Holy crap. Woo! That's a handful. That's a full one. Okay. I don't even know if I'd want to do that one. That's very, like... Apparently the thread was locked by the... The thread is locked due to excessive rule violations. Ooh, people are really mad at this one. People are really mad at this one. Holy wow. Okay, let's get into this. My husband has a habit of blaming my behavior reaction on my cycle. For example, when we argue, he'd say, I won't argue anymore since you tend to act crazy like you're on your cycle. Or even say, I know you didn't mean to do slash say what couldn't, but couldn't help since it's that time of the month for you. It's so irritating and prevents me from being allowed to express myself. Ooh. It happened again last night at dinner. We had an argument about him forgetting to fill my car with gas after he used it, and I expressed my frustration. He said, we will not talk about this now since you appear to be on your cycle. I said that I was not on my cycle and that this was just me feeling frustrated with him. He insisted he won't talk about this and insisted he won't hear what I had to say since I was on my cycle, since I was being irrational during the argument. I snapped and had enough. So I got up, stood in front of him while he was still eating and pulled down my pants and showed him my underwear. He made a gross old face and shouted, F that's nasty, I'm eating my... We had a full-blown argument and he said I acted horribly and ruined his appetite by pulling that nasty move. He told me to grow up and stop being spiteful over nothing. He keeps saying I grossed him out during dinner and made him go to bed hungry. Am I the asshole? Did I overreact? Girl, get a new husband. Get a new motherfucking husband. Get a new husband. Leave this man in the dust. That's just so... Oh, my goodness. Okay, so here's some of the comments. Flashing the clearly clean underwear at him was a boss way to snap, though. Not going to lie. Not the asshole. Straight up. Oh, my goodness. Going forward, I would take my pants off every time an argument started before he even had the chance to blame my cycle. Not the asshole. Mm-hmm. And the response to that was, this is a power move from hell. Just slap your unclean underwear on the table. Now that we've established that my cycle has nothing to do with why you suck, let's talk. Oh, my God. Wow. Now, that's the first way to fucking, that's a way to start the show. That's most certainly a way to start the show. I got nothing out of that. You know what, girl? If he is going to sit there and he is going to gaslight you and he is going to shut you down and blame you and your emotions and your hormones every time you bring up a valid concern, and that's, you know, and this is outside of nagging, because, like, you know, let's face it, some women, a lot of us women, not all, but a lot of us, and some dudes too, do a lot of nagging. This is outside of the nagging. The fact that every time you try to bring up a discussion, he sits there and he makes fun of you for, can we just address the fact that, are you even sleeping with him? Like, can we just, like, go over that? How is it that every time you have a discussion that you're on your cycle, but yet he's blaming you, saying that you're on your cycle? Like, do you ever sleep with this guy? Like, where is he getting his action from? That's what I want to know. Just, like, out of personally, where what's going on? That's what I want to know. as how is he always saying that you're on your cycle, but, like, if he sleeps with you? And, like, this isn't just, like, a roomie. This is, like, your husband. And the fact that he was grossed out when you pulled down clean underwear, is your husband gay, honey? Like, just can we just, like, not a knock on gays. Like, don't get it twisted. Not a knock on gays. But, like, I'm wondering if he's gay. And that he hasn't actually found himself or something. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm kind of concerned, is that he's gay and that he hasn't found himself at all. So, yeah, that's just my opinion. Get yourself a new husband. The fact that he keeps treating you like you're crazy every time you try to have a valid discussion with him, I mean, forgetting to fill up the gas in your car, normal men would be like, hey, you know what, I'm sorry. Like, here's some money so that you can do it, or, oh, I won't do that again next time. I'll make sure that, you know, you just own up to it. It's like, it's not a big deal that you forgot to put gas in my car, but it's kind of annoying. So, like, can you not do that? You know, people fuck up. People make mistakes. Not a big deal. But it's just like, you know, most people would own that shit. The fact that he's not owning that shit and automatically resorts to abusive behavior, that's, nah, get yourself a new husband. Oh, my goodness. Okay, next one. We'll do a couple more, and then we'll move on to something else here. What is this? Okay, here we go. And then we'll go over some of the, oh, my goodness. This one looks really, really silly. Okay, am I the asshole for calling my boyfriend dumb for boiling salmon? That depends. Let's get into this. So this happened yesterday. I came home from work in the evening and saw something cooking on the stove. I asked my boyfriend. He said he was boiling salmon. I was taken aback, like, completely. I asked him to repeat what he said, and so he casually said it again. I was like, ew, who boils salmon? And he made a face and didn't reply. I told him it wasn't right and that I never heard of salmon being boiled, like egg and water type of boiling. He said it was all right and he liked it cooked that way. I called him dumb for this, to which he reacted by snapping and said, who the fuck says I can't boil salmon? I said, common sense. He replied, fuck common sense. I bet it's no longer common sense to eat an apple from an apple tree in this time and age. We had an argument and he started ignoring me, saying he felt hurt and disrespected when I called him dumb and is now waiting for an apology. Am I the asshole? Let's go over some of these comments. Whoops, did I just go backwards? Hold on. Go back to where I was. Okay. So comment, here's first comment, top light comment. I call my boyfriend dumb because he likes his food cooked differently than I do. Am I the asshole? You're the asshole. A massive one. Yes, absolutely. You're the asshole. Beyond. You're the asshole. It's called poaching, which you would know if you Google it instead of being a condescending ass who apparently knows very little and is super proud of the fact. Let me help you. I found a recipe in 5 seconds. Apologize to your boyfriend, but he realizes what a complete jerk you are. Something tells me he already knows. Can't disagree with that one there. Literally, like, everybody's just saying it's, like, it's called poaching. Called poaching. Let me rephrase your title for you and see if that helps. Am I the asshole for verbally abusing my partner because they like a different food than I do? Does that make it clear? You're the asshole. And you know what? I'm going to agree with these comments. Because even before I read these comments, like, you know, I will never understand. Well, that's a lie. I do understand. Like, I can get, you know, when people don't like a certain kind of food. I can understand when people don't like a certain kind of food or they don't. You know, I have friends that don't like salad dressing, for a friend. Well, actually, it's my significant other's friend. But anyway, he does not like salad dressing. He does not like mayonnaise. White guy, which is kind of funny because a white guy that doesn't like mayonnaise, come on, that's weird. But you know what? that's our friend. Does not like any of that stuff. It genuinely makes him gag. For myself, I do not like onions. Just the thought of having an onion in my mouth, especially when it crunches, like, I don't even mind, like, small pieces of onion that are, like, cut up and, like, put in a soup and they're squishy. They don't mind. They don't bother me unless it's, like, a French onion soup and then they're, like, a noodle of onion. It's just that grosses me out so bad. But that's not to say that I'm going to sit there and say that anybody who makes French onion soup is stupid. Or anybody who, you know, like my friend, if he said like, oh, well, you know, you eating mayonnaise is stupid. It's like, no, he just doesn't enjoy mayonnaise. It's just his thing. Like, it bothers me when, like, people have a food that they like and other people shit on them because it's gross. Like, I can even sort of kind of understand the whole, like, natural food versus synthetic food, those kinds of things. Like, that's a whole other ballpark when, like, you know, we start talking about American diets and how the food that you're eating isn't even actually food. It's, like, food science junk, if that makes sense. It's, like, food science junk that's, like, been created and processed in the lab that there's no way you could find that in nature in any capacity. And I'm not talking, like, you know, like I'm not talking, like, you know, where, you know, you have a bunch of Cajuns getting together and, like, having, like, a freaking barbecue with, like, alligator smothered in butter or shit like that. You can all find that in nature. I'm talking about the shit that's, like, the high-processed soy, where they essentially, like, cook it in these big machines, or, like, when they're trying to isolate certain components of food in order to eliminate moisture so that it stays on the shelf longer, but in the process, they're actually destroying the food, or, like, synthetic colorants and things like that. But even then, like, you know, if somebody knows what's in their food, because I am a total advocate and proponent of, as long as you know what you're eating and you know the outcomes of what's going to happen if you eat that food, you do what you want because you're going to be dealing with those consequences, not me. And I know we could get into discussions because most certainly when somebody is hurting themselves, essentially we all hurt. We're all interconnected, and on a macro level, everything we do has an impact on somebody else, whether we like it or not. Energy-wise, planet-wise, everything. Every single one of us does impacts somebody else. It really does. And when you start looking into that, your mind gets a little bit blown on those kinds of aspects, but we're talking on micro level here. Like, I really don't care if you eat, like, 30 freaking cheeseburgers every single day. That's on you. If you want to, like, roll with it and get yourself, like, heart disease and, like, you know, die by the time you're 26 when you started this at 23 because you're just hell-bent on eating cheeseburgers, you do you. I don't really care. I'm not going to sit here and crap on you for the things you shove in your face. All I ever want is that to make sure that people are fully informed in their decisions that they're making. That's the only thing I ever care about, whether it's a business decision, an emotional decision with a relationship, whether it's like food, anything. It's like, do you know what you're actually doing here? Like, can you fully grasp what are the consequences of your actions? And not to say consequences are like a bad thing, just what is going to be the outcome of your actions? If you do this, what is going to be the outcomes of your actions? And are you willing to take responsibility for the outcomes of your actions? Are you willing to do that? Because if you are, then you know what? If you do that, that's on you. As long as you're not hurting anybody else. As soon as you're hurting somebody else, that's therein that I have a problem. And again, we can look at the whole macro and like energy and like how everything we do actually technically affects others. But we're, again, I'm focusing on the micro here because we're not going to go too big and too hard at the start. We're going to stay a little bit on like on the lower end here. You know, we're getting personal, so to speak. So you do you. And that's fine, you do you. So yeah, that's another one. Not going to lie, there's not too many you're the asshole ones. So first we have a woman who is not the asshole. We have a woman who is the asshole. Seeing if there's another good one here. So I'm going to go over one more, and then we're going to cut to commercial break, and then we're going to get into some pretty heavy stuff here. There's a lot of things going on that I kind of want to talk about. Ooh, this one looks like it could be interesting. Posted 16 hours ago. Ooh, it's a long one. Ooh, this one looks like it could be. This one looks like it could be nasty. Hey, hold on. Hold on to your britches. Here we go. Am I the asshole for laughing in my friend's face because he said I'm financially abusing my boyfriend? Ooh, that's a twist. Here we go. My boyfriend Matt and I have been together for about 10 months, and he moved in with me about 4 to 5 months ago. I own my flat, and I have a somewhat well-paying job. Matt just went back to school part-time, meanwhile working a lower-paying job. He pays for half the food, utilities, and dates. I like to travel a lot, but Matt can't really afford it, so I mostly go with my friends, but he came with us for a little winter holiday after Christmas. After we got back, one of my friends, David, who was with us too, came to me saying he wants to talk to me about Matt. David told me that he observed Matt during our vacation and what I was doing to him really wasn't okay. He saw that Matt was struggling to pay for things, often checking if he had enough money. David eventually said that it's wrong of me to expect Matt to pay for half of everything since I make so much more than him, and the fair thing to do would be to divide things based on our income percentages. Like, I pay for 70% of the things and Matt only pays 30% instead of 50-50. David told me that I'm not allowing Matt to save any money of his own, trapping him in our relationship since Matt couldn't afford to live alone, and that's financially abusive. I just laughed at David's face. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I didn't really try to refute anything he was saying because none of it made any sense. David got really offended, angry, disappointed, or I don't know what. It was kind of hard to read, and he said he expected better of me. Then he came to me with a genuine concern, wanting to be helpful, and he didn't expect her reaction to it. It has been a couple days since this, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm thinking maybe I should apologize to David for laughing at him, as he really did look concerned, but what the fuck is he even thinking about? Am I the asshole? And then she made an edit. I did make one point to David after laughing, which is that Matt lived with me for free. I only asked for half the utilities, which is less than 50 euro a month. Okay, so this isn't in Canada or the United States. This isn't England or whatever. I, on the other hand, have to pay a pretty big mortgage. To this, David said that Matt lived with his parents before without having to pay rent, so it's irrelevant, and I felt like there wasn't much more needed to be said. Okay. This is a tricky one. This is a tricky one because they both have fairly valid points. We're going to go with a couple of the comments first. What? You aren't married with him, so you're not liable to financially support him. He's not even paying rent. He's an adult that made a big boy decision to move out of his parents. Now, if he's paying more than he can afford, then accept that he can't afford this lifestyle and needs to move back home. The financial abuse accusation was way beyond reasonable, not the asshole. Edit to add, if someone accused me of financially abusing my 10-month-old relationship boy who lived my house rent-free, I would laugh purely from the confusion and ridiculousness of it all, which I'm assuming is what OP did. The offense for laughter is way lighter than this incredibly out-of-pocket accusation. Wow. Yeah. You know what? They have a point. They got a valid point right there. They got a valid point. Yeah, letting him live rent-free is super fucking nice. Yep, there's a comment. There's another comment. That's a good one. And, you know, so here's another one. No, she's his partner. She doesn't have to fund his whole life on multiple vacations, but given that he doesn't usually travel with her due to financial constraints, it would have been generous of her to offer to treat him to a few meals activities on this trip, since she knew he was struggling. It's not financial abuse, but generally people do way nicer things for someone they're in love. Okay. So, first things first, they have only been together for 10 months, and they've only lived together for not even half a year. It's been 4 to 5 months. Okay, they haven't even been together for a full year yet. I don't know what kind of traveling she's doing all over the place because she's saying that she's going places and doing things and blah, blah, blah. Like, first things first, again, they've only been together a short while, okay? This would be entirely different if they were married and had been together for like 10 years and she had a kick-ass paying job making twice as much as him, using all her money to go do go do all these things, but guess what? That's not what's actually happening here. So, I would like kind of like to know, like, what exactly she's talking about, like, vacations. Is she talking about, like, you know, I like to travel a lot. What does she mean by travel? Does she mean just, like, go, like, a town over? Or is she going down to, like, the Bahamas, like, once a month? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I would kind of like to know what she's doing for work and stuff. Those aren't details that are here. But as for David coming up and expressing concern, like, first of all, David, it's not even your fucking business. It's not, and that's not to say that, like, you know, David isn't looking out for the boyfriend, but would David have this same reaction if one of his male friends was doing this to his girlfriend? You know, would he approach his bro and be concerned about that? You know, firstly, secondarily, what kind of vacation did you even go on that he's having to pinch his pennies? You know what I mean? Like, oh, he has to check to make sure that he has to afford everything. Like, I don't think this woman doesn't seem so stuck up that she's making him pay for, like, everything. But I don't think she's going to be paying for everything either. Again, like, they've only been going out for 10 months, living together 4 to 5. And she's letting him live rent-free. Oh, he moved from his parents' house to her house. Do you mean to tell me that Buddy has never even lived on his own? Like, he's never even lived on his own. He hasn't even had the chance to experience living on his own. Then you have this independent woman who owns her own flat. She's paying the mortgage and she's paying half of the bills. You know, like, what is he spending his money on then? This is what I want to know. If the only thing he has to pay for is half the freaking bills, which is like 50 euro or shit, even if it's 100 euro a month, you know, what the hell is this guy spending his money on? I think maybe this may be a case, not to say that it is, but this may be a case of mommy daddy's boy, that he's able to spend his money on whatever he wants, and he's never actually had any real responsibility. The fact that his parents weren't even making him pay, you know, I don't even think, yeah, it doesn't even say how old they are, but like, she owns her own flat, she's paying a mortgage, she's not paying anything at all, except for like some utilities. So what the hell is he doing that he has absolutely no fucking money? That he can only pay for like half the utilities and then still be so broke. You know what I mean? Like, nah, honey, you're not the asshole. I do think, though, this might be something that you may have to reevaluate and consider in the future if there's some life choices that are different. But as for right now, you are very much not the asshole. Okay, we're going to go for a quickie 5-minute break here, and we will be right back. I will see you guys in a few minutes.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Peter, the Korean films are my letter of recommendation. It is obvious their hearts are a letter of approval from Messiah. Dionysus from the 405 BC play the beggar and Jesus of Nazareth quote the same line, kicking against the pricks. That is plausible, is it not? Am I not an apostle?
Let's study this and more proof that a test of whom we love exists in the New Testament canon. Join Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul, which airs Saturdays noon Pacific, 1 Mountain, 2 Central, and 3 Eastern for 3 hours on Saturdays, where listeners enjoy fellowship and study of the words of Messiah versus yours Paul. 3195276208. Saturdays at noon Pacific.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers. And we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about. And you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
Okay, and we are back on Open World. Holy freaking goodness, you guys. So we're going to go over a couple of TikToks that I found today. Just give me a second to open my freaking phone here. You're going to hear like a lot of random stuff going on. There was actually a couple of TikToks that I wanted to go over today that like kind of like really freaked me out. And I'll see if I can find them here because I just kind of been glued to this a couple of days. Let me find this. Oh, that one's not even there anymore because they took that one down. Of course they did. Why not? Give me one more second here. Man, I'm really peeved I took that one down. I can't remember what it was. One more second. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this one. This one really like peeved me off today big time. Super big time on TikTok today. So I'm going to play the video. And I hope you guys can hear. I will put the video up to my mic and I will let you guys hear.
I'm a kangaroo parent. Does that automatically make me the babysitter?
Do me a favor and watch the entire video because I plan to discuss how us millennials, I'm a Xennial, but she discusses millennials, and I believe she's talking to her daughters about how she's not a babysitter, and the job of her is to raise her children to become financially secure, to secure their own daycare and take care of their own children, and not to be a babysitter for her own grandchildren, pretty much, and to be able to call for her grandchildren when she wants them. And her daughters are sitting there listening to this while she has two young infants in front of her. Now, this is what I find to be very funny, and I hear this a lot from grandparents right now. Myself, I don't have child care. I don't have a family, but I got this a lot from my ex-husband's family who never took care of our children. They never babysat for us when we really needed them. We didn't have date nights, and when we did, it was really a struggle to get any child care from his family in any capacity whatsoever, so we never had that privilege. This is what I find so funny about grandparents today. Who raised us? Who raised us? Because I'll tell you right now, my grandmother raised me and my brother and my siblings. My grandmother raised us. My grandmother was where we went to after school for the majority of our lives. Actually, I actually went to school at my grandmother's home in her residence. She was our address, and we went there so my mother could work. That's where we went. We lived with her Monday through Friday, and that was the truth for the majority of my friends. The majority of my friends were partially raised by their grandparents. My ex-husband was raised by his grandmother because his mother was a working mother as well. That is what they did. So this generation of grandparents who says, it's not my responsibility to take care of your kids, didn't take care of their own children. Their parents took care of us. And then they sit here and look at us and say, wait a second, it's not our job to take care of your children. No, you didn't even take care of us. So, of course, who are we to think that you would possibly help us with our children? And then you look at us and expect us to take care of our children, secure daycare, have full-time jobs, secure a marriage, be okay, and deal with all the trauma of having absentee parents at the same time and deal with your bullshit. Yeah, we're supposed to do it all, right? And then we're lazy millennials, right, who are supposed to save the freaking country, and we're supposed to be the 1950s again. Yep, it's us, not you. Not you.
Holy wow. When I tell you, I watched a freaking video today, and like, the amount of things I had going through my head watching that video, I hope you guys are able to hear. If you weren't able to hear, just a recap of the video we just sent, if you were not able to make out what she was saying or she was hearing, essentially, there is a video of a grandmother giving her daughter shit, saying that she is not going to be the paid the babysitter, that she did her time raising her kids. So now she's just going to go out and do what she wants, and she's going to take her babies when she wants to take her babies, and that's the way it's going to be. The response from this woman was, who stitched this video, was essentially, you know, the grandparents raised me. The Gen Xers, I'm a millennial, the Gen Xers that claim that they raised their kids, they didn't actually raise their kid. And when I tell you that that speaks so incredibly fucking true in my life, not to say that my grandparents are self-entitled, narcissistic assholes like this. And before I continue, because I know there's going to be a lot of people out there, this is the Hegelian dialectic that a lot of people love to play. The millennials, let's face it, a lot of us were not raised well, we were coddled or we were abused or things like that, and we are putting our emotions first before action, and we expect everybody to coddle to us and the things like that. And to be honest, you guys, I cannot stand people my own age or around my own age for this big reason, the victimization mindset that is coming out of a lot of these people that are the millennials is so next level, the socialist victimist mindset that everybody owes these people something. They will never be where they want to be because they are being held back by everybody and their dog, that they were abused as children, and that, you know, everybody must coddle to their victim mindset and their identities and all this other weird shit that they got going on, their trauma that they got going on, that they really need to start sorting out themselves. And not to say that these people's valid experiences are not valid. I'm not saying that they're not valid. I'm not saying that their walk in life is any less valid than anybody else. But what I am saying is that there is no taking responsibility for action. Whereas on the flip side, these Gen Xers, they are a special breed. They are the breed from the boomers where, like, the boomers were working and doing all this other shit, trying to make men's meat, get by. They were building society. They were busy building, making it enjoyable for the Gen Xers and the millennials and the future generations to come. So the Gen Xers, they got to essentially experience a boomer world with new technology. And so they are acting like boomers, but they were not living in a boomer world. So they're very closed off. They're very, not to say all of them, again, like if the shoe fits, you might want to take and reevaluate the shoe that you're actually wearing, okay? I'm not speaking in blanket statements. Don't ever, going forward, if you ever listen to my show, don't ever assume that I'm speaking in a blanket statement unless I deliberately say that it is a blanket statement. These are simple generalities, and there will be exceptions that apply. There are always exceptions that apply to the rule. Always, always, always. Okay? Okay. Let's get that out of the way so you don't get it twisted. But you know, these Gen Xers, they don't really care. They are just telling you to suck it up, deal with it, because that's what they had to deal with. But then they raise a bunch of millennials who are also growing in a new age with new technology, new systems and things like that, while expecting to adhere to the system that the boomers had built. So the Gen Xers got the benefits of what the boomers have built. The millennials most certainly got a lot of the benefits, but now we're starting to see a lot of the downfalls of these things and stuff as well, because, you know, inflation is a thing. The global takeover by the New World Order and stuff is a thing. And we're being expected to raise a whole new generation in a world where everybody is running on straight emotions, and we have a conflict of logic and emotions, the mind and the heart, and then very willy little people are actually willing to take action, because we are also living in a world where you are being punished for taking action against the abuse that you're facing. It's actually quite gross, really, that the elimination of the principle of self-defense and natural law is quite blatant, especially in Canada. Not so much as compared to the United States, but in Canada it is most certainly blatant and forthcoming. That I understand, you know, the restorative justice aspect of a lot of the Canadian justice system is trying to take is most certainly, scientifically speaking and statistically speaking, way better. However, we are also not addressing and solving the issues that are being placed upon us with this trash-ass, heavy-tax socialist system, the fact that people are becoming so worn down and destroyed because, you know, why would I help somebody else when the government could do it? That's what the government's taking my money for, right? I'm literally being left with fucking pennies just to get by. And then if I climb the ladder, I am going to be taxed like fucking crazy to be expected to help other people. Why would I want to get ahead? You know what I mean? So this woman does this video talking about how these Gen Xers, they weren't even raising their own motherfucking kids. They weren't even raising their own kids. The boomers were raising the millennials. And again, like I was saying, this is very much true in my own situation, not because, you know, my mother loves taking my kids, and I don't expect her to watch the kids every single day, because I'm a grown-ass adult. I am most certainly a grown-ass adult, and I have taken the opportunity to carve my life out to make sure that, you know, I can raise my own kids. I don't have to pay for daycare to look after my kids, because to be quite frank, I've worked in daycares, and while I trusted the daycare that I worked at, the lady that I worked at, she was very, very adamant on making sure that these kids had a safe, healthy, thriving place to be comfortable in. She was very, very much like a proponent of like gentle parenting, very much a proponent of like healthy eating and putting kids first. Like, she was very, like, most certainly, I had a good experience, so to speak, with her business model when it comes to what she wanted with the kids and what happened there. However, there are a lot of daycares that do not provide that kind of environment. They may try, but the employees there are not kid first, and they sure as hell don't have their shit together. Like I said, entitled millennials or not caring Gen Xers. So it's kind of a both way kind of thing, but I'm finding this woman's words to be entirely too true, and surfing through the comments here. Here we go. So my parents divorced. Oh no, hold on. My mother never watched my son. My grandma had me 85% of my life. That's a top comment with almost 5,000 likes. Yeah. From this Terry. But yeah, again, my mother never watched my son. My grandma had me 85% of my life. I used to spend weeks at a time at my grandparents' house. I don't get the same support my parents got. Dude, I raised myself. My parents were working or going to charity meetings. My babysitter was the TV. It's wild coming from a family where I never had a babysitter and was raised by the whole family. My mom would never tell me to do daycare. We shouldn't be expected to be the babysitter. My grandparents took us for nights out or weekends away. And then this lady responded, you just made my point. Grandparents took you for nights and weekends. That is no longer happening in today's generation at a minimum. No family support. And this creator, this Nikki, is so incredibly, incredibly correct. Incredibly correct. The fact that these Gen Xers, the harm that they are causing in the name of self-entitlement. And again, it's not to say that, like, you know, millennials, there are a lot of millennials out there that literally take every single opportunity to pawn their kids off onto the parents or the Gen Xers, their parents, and they are raising their kids because they raised their kids, now they're raising their grandkids. But there are also a lot of the Gen Xers which just don't do it. Another comment, these are the same parents who had the older kids taking care of the younger ones. True! So fucking true. If they aren't babysitters, my house isn't an elderly care home. Ooh, clap back. It takes a village. They had a village, but now they refuse to return the favor. Another reason I'm not having kids. And last comment here, I'll read one more. These are also the grandparents who pretend they are the best grandparents on Facebook. If that isn't the fucking truth. So many of them, they want nothing to do with their grandbabies' lives, or they pick and choose who they want to take care of, and blah, blah, blah. They play favorites and all this other stupid shit, but then they go all over Facebook promoting themselves to be, you know, this and that, and it's just, oh, my God. This is why we are struggling, folks. This is exactly why we are struggling, is everybody is so detached, and everybody is hurting so bad. And everybody wants to be validated and loved and appreciated. And, you know, they want to make something of themselves, but like nobody's willing to step out and actually do it. And when I say so, nobody, I'm speaking in generalities here. I'm not speaking in blanket statements. Again, like in my own case, personally, in my life, that is something that, you know, I don't really experience at this time, because everybody that I have in my life, when something goes wrong, especially for me, the first thing they ask is, how can I help you? They don't sit there and say, like, oh, sending you thoughts, prayers, and vibes. They're flat out, how can I help? You know, because those are the kind of people that I have in my life. They're ready and willing to take action. They're not going to sit there and just, you know, pretend to give a shit about you and meanwhile keep scrolling and going about the day. They're going to stand up and be like, how do we get this done? You're having a problem? Okay, how can I help you? You know? I've actually experienced that in a most recent incident that I'm not going to share a whole lot of further in the details into, but even in my own life over the last few years, again, same thing. Like they're those first ones, and the first thing they do is like, how can I help? And if I can't help, is there any other way I can help? If you need help and I can do it, let me know. These are the kind of people that, you know, I wish everybody could have the experience of having, but I understand that everybody is in a different journey in life, and I understand that everybody is going through some shit that, you know, might not make that available to them due to circumstances or things like that. So I think it's a good thing to be aware of these situations and things like that, so we can go forward and try to do the best that we can and make a better world. Okay, there was another video here that I wanted to share. I just had to find it again. Let me look. And the one I really wanted to share got deleted, so. Oh, this was a good one. Here we go. I'll see if I can play this.
People's work ethic is fucking atrocious. We are living through a time right now where people have too much anxiety to go to work, where their dog dies and they quit, that their cousin, three times removed, has fucking cancer and they haven't talked to them in 20 years, but that's reason enough to put in their notice at work. We are living through such a time where people are, they're so weak, they're so feeble-minded. Their ability to handle pressure and stress is pathetic, and we wonder what's happening to society. People's work.
Okay, so I like that video for many reasons, and I really dislike that video for many reasons. Okay, number one, again, I like that we're moving forward in society, and the millennials did a really good job of this. Understanding that you're a human being, and you're more than just action and mind. You are emotion as well. I like that the newer generations have tried to, essentially create what we call safe spaces. And you can say what you want. Like, you know, a lot of like these safe spaces are kind of bullshit. But the part that I really liked about it essentially is having somewhere, someone that when you're going through a tough time, that you know you can talk to somebody or some people and know that you're okay. You know what I mean? It's just like everybody needs that someone or those couple of people where they know that it doesn't matter what's on their mind, their heart, doesn't matter what they're going through, doesn't matter what's happening. They know they can rely on those people, and those people are going to be there for them. You know, almost like, you know, like psychologists, but like your friends. And that's not to say that like a psychologist's job isn't important. Do you want to criticize that for a quickie minute before I get back to this? But like, it really pisses me off when we have careers like psychologists and counselors, not because I don't value their work, not because I don't think their work isn't or shouldn't be valued as a whole. These people are specifically trained to look at you, look at your situation, and try to give you tools to be able to help you cope or up to and heal yourself so that you can go forward and live your best life in a healed manner so that you can, you know, keep doing what you're doing and do it better. You know, or like, you know, they're trying to help you be a better you. They're not going to fix you. They're going to give you the tools to fix yourself. Now, that's not to say, again, that's not to say these people are not worth value or that this education and training is not worth value. But it's really fucking sad when the general populace does not have access to this knowledge or tools, that they're not seen as important when it comes to being able to help somebody with these kinds of things, or the fact that, you know, in order for a psychologist to be valued for their work, they have to charge, and because they were paying pissloads of money, again, like, you know, of higher value things. Again, that's not to say that these things shouldn't be of value, but it's become essentially a circle for only people that actually understand that value and for people who have money. And I love that the people who do have money and do have access to these tools utilize them. So I'm not going to sit here and crap on these people saying that, oh, you're rich, blah, 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 you shouldn't be able to. No. Stop. I'm glad you have money. I'm glad you are seeing the value in seeing a psychologist or a counselor or somebody that's helping you improve yourself every day. And I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, you need to, you know, realize how privileged you are, blah, blah, blah. You definitely have been blessed in life, and this is a gift. And a lot of it, most certainly, you have absolutely worked for. And that makes me really happy. It just makes me really upset that other people also don't have access to these things when the entire system has been set up so that people don't have access to these things. And the people who try to fill the gaps have to do it in such a peculiar way. And they have to be so careful with how they do things. And the overreaching scope of the medical system and its terminologies, and as well as the legalese system through the use of English, which is the most commonly used and controlled language out there. It was literally made for this shit. And the more you use it as a means of communication, the more they control everything that you say, because they're the ones who assign the meaning to these things. For example, I was talking to a friend of mine today about something that happened with somebody that I know, and I was using medical terminology. And they pointed out, you do realize that you're using medical terminology, right? And I'm not like saying this to like shit on them, I'm just using this as an example. They said, you know, you do realize you're using a lot of medical terminology, which gives them power, just like legalese, right? And it really stopped me, making me think, and it's just like, you know, you're very correct. You're very fucking correct that in order to be able to communicate an idea in a health sense, in a health matter. These asshats at the top have taken and they are controlling your language. In fact, there's in the United States. Hold on, let me look. Let me see if I just give me 1 second here. I'm just seeing if I can pull up an article. Is this the one? Give me one more second here, guys. I'm just trying to see if I can find an article here. Oh, I'm trying to find a good one. Because I was looking over this with a friend of mine this summer, and I did not like what I saw when I read this at all. Hold on here. Here we go. Okay. Let's see if I can get this. Okay. So I just found an article here from topclassactions.com. Young Living Essential Oils class action lawsuit alleges false therapeutic promises. Okay. Young Living Essential Oils are not giving consumers the therapeutic treatment, and the company promises, and now it will have to defend its claims in court. That's according to a class action lawsuit filed by Lori McNaughton, challenging the company's marketing of its therapeutic-grade essential oils. Young Living allegedly makes a variety of specific medicinal promises about its products, including relieving consumers' anxiety, reducing stress, helping maintain energy, and treating depression symptoms. McNaughton argues the promises are not only deceiving, but also violating multiple federal laws. She's looking for other U.S. consumers who bought the essential oils labeled therapeutic but didn't experience any health-related benefits to join the class action lawsuit. Young Living depends on its marketed therapeutic-grade label to sell its products at a premium. Essential oil blends from Young Living will cost you $36, which is twice the price of similar products, according to the complaint. McNaughton asserts that the company is taking advantage of her and other health-conscious consumers who paid big bucks for the benefits but received none. Consumers aren't the only ones taking issue with the alleged false advertisement. Young Living was also in a hot plate for National Advertising Division, which monitors and reviews advertising and complaints about misleading ad campaigns. NAD challenged the company's truthfulness and accuracy of its health-related claims about the products, according to the class action lawsuit. NAD determined that Young Living failed to support its claims with scientific evidence and ordered the company to stop describing its products as therapeutic. While Young Living agreed to the terms, it did not follow through with its side of the deal, according to the complaint. Nevertheless, Young Living's website continues to reference therapeutic-grade essential oils in its marketing. The Young Living Oils class action lawsuit asserts, moreover, bottles of various Young Living products deceptively labeled as therapeutic-grade essential oils can still be purchased through numerous third-party vendors. This isn't the first Young Living class action lawsuit alleging that the company falsely advertises its essential oils. A plaintiff in Minnesota claims she bought the bottles of Young Living essential oils labeled therapeutic-grade at a premium price for years and experienced none of the promised benefits. Contrary to the express representations made on this label, the products which claim to be therapeutic and provide a number of health-related benefits provide no healthy or medical benefit whatsoever, Shannon Brochard's class action lawsuit claims. In September 2014, the company was also issued a warning by the FDA over its essential oil being marketed in conditions like Parkinson's disease, autism, cancer, and PTSD, according to the complaint. So essentially, and I remember I was going over this, I'll have to see if I can find the actual legislation. Actually, let me see if I can go Google it here really quick. give me one more second. No, I'm not going to be able to Google it right now. That's going to take a while. Essentially, there's a legislation when they're saying that they're breaking multiple federal laws. I remember we were looking over, and there was a legislation that will not let you use medical terminology in order to be able to describe a situation, so to speak. If I wanted to treat you for a health ailment using herbs or anything like that, if it's not scientifically proven, this legislation, like if it's not like scientifically proven, that you cannot make those claims. So let's say I want to do acupressure on you, okay? And again, this is just the United States, and I don't remember what the actual legislation was. I just remember that I was reading it with a friend of mine. We were going over it, and that was very specific. I want to treat you for acupressure, and I want to push on a certain spot, and I say that's going to relieve some medical condition, like insomnia. If I push on this spot for so long, blah, 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 for so often, this is going to relieve your insomnia or something like that. I technically cannot make that claim because it has not been scientifically proven, and we all know what constitutes being scientifically proven, because there's a lot of medications and things out there where they get the FDA approval that, oh, it's going to help you with this, and then later on down the line, and actually there's all these class action lawsuits. Oh, well, did you take this medication and then it make your eyes bleed and shit like that? You're entitled to compensation. Shit like that. Okay. And a lot of these medications that they're putting out, they don't even actually like help. They're more of a placebo than anything. There's been a lot of controversy now saying that like antidepressants don't actually help with depression, that it's pretty much just a placebo effect that does a lot more damage than good. And I have talked to like psychologists and stuff, and some of them agree and some of them don't agree. And some of them think, well, even if it is a placebo effect, that, you know, at least it's helping the patient and that's what works. And again, as long as you are informed, I don't really think I care if you want to take an antidepressant or not. But if you ever decide to come off that antidepressant, I really hope that you have been informed about the fact that what could happen coming off that antidepressant. You know what I mean? You do you. It's your health choices. It's your body. You're the one who has to deal with the consequences. That's on you. Okay. So if I want to make a claim that it helps with insomnia and it either doesn't help or it actually hurts the individual, they can come after me. The government can come after me. See, what's scary about this whole Young Living thing, okay, what's really scary about this whole Young Living thing is that if they can go after Young Living and they can get this lawsuit pushed through and they can get this lawsuit and they can win, this is going to be another big hit. Like, this is going to completely decimate and destroy the natural health community. Like, it's been on the downhill ever since the Carnegie and Rockefeller came in, and they, more so Carnegie, but when he came in and he created the Flexner Report, and essentially Carnegie was a big, you know, millionaire, would be a billionaire now. He had the oil industry. Him and Rockefeller had the oil industry, right? And once upon a time, homeopathic medicine and what's the other word? Allopathic medicine. They were kind of neck and neck. Homeopathic medicine, a lot of people went to allopathic medicine, but unfortunately allopathic medicine had a history of harming or killing the patient, whereas with homeopathic medicine, the worst that would happen is nothing at all, and then you would end up just dying or succumbing to whatever, being injured or succumbing to whatever ailment or injury that you had, because the homeopathic medicine wasn't doing it, which again, allopathic medicine was the complete opposite. It was either the procedure who was often injuring or killing you. So these two things were neck and neck, with actual homeopathy was a lot more popular than allopathic medicine. Then along came Carnegie, and he offered to fund these hospitals that they had at the time in exchange for having him and the people that he wanted on the boards for these learning centers and hospitals and shit. So then he had somebody commission the Flexner Report, and the Flexner Report, somebody went around, and I don't remember his name, but he went around and Flexner, I think that's what, well, duh, it's the Flexner Report. Flexner went around to all the hospitals and schools and stuff, and he found only a very small fraction of them were qualified to receive this funding. And therefore, a lot of these places suddenly overnight became quote-unquote illegal kind of state, that they were no longer allowed to practice, because overnight, it was literally like pretty much overnight, a bunch of these places that were quote-unquote approved by the Flexner Report were suddenly okay, and all these other places suddenly were not, and they were being told, you're not allowed to do what you're doing. You need to either get up to speed or you need to dip out. And that's how we ended up with the beautiful healthcare system that we have today, where it is strictly allopathic medicine and a bunch of weird mRNA, GMO fucking shit that's going on. That's pretty much Nazi experiments. Unit 31, 731, Nazi Germany, like Soviet Russia, fucking, you know, colonialist Canada experiments that were happening, that they were using these time frames and this means of experimentation once they got control of the medical system, that they were using these specific incidences in time to essentially experiment on people. Recently, I have come across, and a lot of you probably already know about Unit 731, and, you know, Nazi Germany and the things that they were doing, and you probably don't even know about things like, you know, Canada using the indigenous children who were forced into residential schools, or else, you know, their parents were fined or thrown in jail. They were doing things like nutrition experiments on these indigenous kids. And actually, let me go see if I can find the article for you, and we'll read a little bit from that. It's quite gruesome, to be putting it nicely. Okay. School, children, nutrition. Hold on. Experiments. Give me a sec here. My hands are cold. Do-to-do. Okay. Okay, this isn't too long of a read. I'll read you this one for you guys. NCBI, n.mlm.nih.gov. So Pediatrics, Child and Health. This one is titled, Canada's Shameful History on Nutrition Research on Residential School Children, the Need for Strong Medical Ethics and Aboriginal Health Research. While both science and research have very long and detailed histories, the formal history of medical ethics is short. The discipline's foundation arises from the medical atrocities performed in the name of science by a cadre of Nazi doctors during World War II. The actions were so despicable that 20 physicians were put on trial in Nuremberg for violations for the Hippocratic Oath and behavior incompatible with their education and profession. The result of this 1946 trial was the Nuremberg Code of Medical Ethics. Last year, Ian Mosby, a food historian of postdoctoral fellow at the University of Guelph, Ontario, revealed details of highly unethical nutrition experiments performed on Canadian Aboriginal children at six residential schools between 1942 and 1952, our own medical atrocities. The experiments were performed by the Department of Indian Affairs of Canada under the direction of two physicians, Dr. Percy Moore and the Indian Affairs Branch Superintendent of Medical Services and Dr. Frederick Tisdale, a famed nutritionist, a former president of the Canadian Pediatric Society, and one of three pediatricians at the Hospital Toronto, Ontario, who developed Pablum, infant cereal, in the 1930s. In these experiments, parents were not informed, nor were consents obtained. Yes, you heard that right. So these children that were plucked from Indigenous parents, First Nation parents from these different tribes across Canada, they were forcibly put into these residential schools. In six residential schools, they were conducting nutrition experiments on Indigenous children, without their parents being notified, without consent being obtained. How fucked up. Even as children died, the experiments continued. Even after the recommendations from the Nuremberg trials, these experiments continued. Let me read you that again. You're going to shit your pants if you didn't hear that the first time. Even as children died, the experiments continued. Even after the recommendations from the Nuremberg trial, the experiments continued. So this was post-Nuremberg trial, where there was people who were tried and a couple of them who were fucking hung. They still did this shit to these Indigenous children. God, this just breaks your heart. In these experiments, control and treatment groups of malnourished children were denied adequate nutrition. In one experiment, the treatment group received supplements of riboflavin, theamine, and or ascorbic acid supplements to determine whether these mitigated the problems. They did not. In another, children were given a flour mix containing thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, and bone meal. Rather than improving nutrition, the children became more anemic, lightly contributing to more deaths and certainly impacting development. Experiments effort were made to control as many factors as possible, even when they harmed the research subjects. For example, previously available dental care was denied in some settings because the researchers wanted to observe the state of dental caries and gingivitis with malnutrition. I'm sure that was supposed to say cavities, but dental caries and gingivitis with malnutrition. How could we have let this happen? Why did we not know about these long before now? Why did these experiments not stop when the Nuremberg trial was, or the Nuremberg Code was put forward? Similar to the U.S. Public Health Service syphilis study at Tuskegee, which in 1932 set out with the best intentions to learn about natural history of syphilis among black men, in hopes of justifying a treatment program for them. Sure. Canadian researchers used Aboriginal children in residential schools to learn about malnutrition. The problem in the Tuskegee, Alabama, was that the natural history observations continued long after penicillin became available to treat syphilis. In Canada's case, the basics of alleviating malnutrition, adequate food, were all well known before these experiments began. The most striking is that both studies were performed among individuals who were already marginalized and vulnerable. No one was looking out for the best interests of these research subjects. They had no voice. While many changes and improvements have been made in the area of ethical health research since the 1940s, Aboriginal children and youth remain at a highly vulnerable population. Extra care must be taken. The current issue of pediatrics and child health includes a Canadian Pediatric Society position statement entitled Health Research Involving First Nations, Inuit, and Métis Children and Other Communities, with recommendations on Aboriginal community ownership of research projects, one measure that can help to ensure the potential for research abuse is minimized. Other measures such as data safety review committees as well as rigorous research ethic board review are also critical. It behooves all of us who care for children and youth to ensure that research abuse and other potential opportunities for abuse are minimized by being vigilant, thoughtful, and introspective. And FYI, the Tuskegee experiments, there's been a lot of evidence that has been coming out that not only did they not give these people life-saving penicillin. They infected many, many people. It wasn't just the men they were watching. It was their wives who were infected. It was their children that were born of their wives. Like, it was catastrophic. And not only that, they actually went out of their way to let the doctors and healthcare workers know in these people's areas when they would go to try to seek care. Seek care. I got a problem. Can you help me, doc? They were either denied care or they were given the wrong care on purpose. On purpose. If that doesn't show how evil people can be in the name of science, and this is what really, really screws me up, when a lot of people say it's for science, it's for science. Yeah, well, Unit 731 was for science. The Indigenous Children, the Nutrition Experiments was for science. The Tuskegee Experiments was for science. The Nazi Germany Experiments was for science. The shit they were doing in Soviet Russia with anthrax and shit, that was for science. Like, you really have to remove your humanity in order to be able to put science first. It's a real damn shame. It's a real crying shame what people are willing to do in the name of science. And it's really, really gross. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. We're going to take another quickie break, and then we'll be back here in a little bit. So I will see you guys after the break.
Hey there. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on! Forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problems,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
We're back in open world. Holy crap, you guys. You guys are never going to guess the tweet I just freaking saw. So off my Twitter, right, because I haven't even gone over Twitter in the last little while. It's been a while. I open up Twitter, and I fuck you not, guys. The first thing that I saw, holy wow. President Biden, 6 hours ago at POTUS, January 6th is a reminder that there is nothing guaranteed about our democracy. We all have to earn it, defend it, and protect it. I'm done. This whole thing, I've only been barely coming along and following along. I have had a couple of friends kind of tell me a little bit about it. I've been a little busy this last week, so I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention, because to be frank, I don't really care. Outside of the fact that it's politics and I don't care. It's a horse and pony show. I don't care. I mean, I pay attention because it's always good to know what steps are going to be coming next and what's going to be happening that might indeed happen that, you know, that might actually affect me. But, I mean, the world, the powers that be, like the WHO, they've already said what they're going to be doing. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, they've already said what they're going to be doing. Agenda 2030, Agenda 2040, like, you know, Agenda 2020, 2030, 2040. These things have already been set in motion and these are already in place. I mean, Klaus Schwab wrote a book. Kissinger just wrote a book. It's called Leadership, and they're already telling you what's going to be happening with the controlled op leaders coming forward and how they're going to be, like, you know, changing things. Like, all of this shit is just so blatantly obvious that this is what it's going to be doing. This is why when people, when they sit there and they confuse, when they get confused, like, how did you know that? How did you, dude, they literally wrote books about it. Like, the world leaders, you know, the rulers that won't let you not be a slave and they'll kill you if you try to influence other people to not be a slave, they're literally telling us what they're going to do. They're literally laying it all out through and through, laying the entire damn thing out. They're just literally telling you. They're writing books. They're putting out their agendas. They're literally fucking telling you what's going to happen. And then people are just so flabbergasted when it actually happens. It's just like, see, this is the one thing that you must trust and believe about narcissists, is when they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. Believe them that they're going to do it. You know, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward. Taking a quickie gander over Twitter here, seeing if there's anything that I can see that's actually... Oh, what is this? Caught on video, a customer at a Takura shot and killed a robber at a restaurant on South Gessner, on S. Gessner in Southwest half Houston, police said. Ooh. Oh, wow. Oh! Oh, wow! Okay. Yeah, that's, what he fucked around and found out. You can find that on Twitter, on KHOU 11 News Houston, posted 13 hours ago. It's right there, man. Like, this guy rolls up to the counter with a gun, and he's going to roll away after he gets the money. And Buddy, who's sitting there having a meal with his friend, waits till the guy walks back away, and he just pulls out a gun. Pew, 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 pew. That's it. Done. Deet-de-deet. That's it. Fun stuff. All good stuff. My goodness. Seeing if there's anything else I can find on here before I dip out of here. Some Catchard. I don't know if you guys are on Twitter. Follow Catchard if you're not. If you join Twitter, follow Catchard. Yeah, and this freaking athlete thing that's been happening. You know, am I the only one that finds it, like, really, really kind of weird? That, like, we've been following athletes dropping, like, stones over the last year, and suddenly this one athlete drops, like, a stone on the playing field after he gets hit in the chest, and suddenly everybody's just up in arms. Like, there's been, like, okay, like, I just found this, like, this, little Twitter thing, and I mean, I don't know if this one is exactly true, but I have been seeing, like, a lot of people posting about this with, like, the actual stats, but this one I just found, like, it's just a quickie little meme thing. It's from Wittgenstein, Wittgenstein. He is back to life _ 2023 on Twitter. From 1970 to 2020, 1,312 athletes suffered from cardiac arrest and died. 2021 to 2022, 1,598 athletes suffered from cardiac arrest and died. It's always look at the numbers until the numbers no longer fit the narrative. And this is very much true. This is why it really kind of concerns me, and I know a lot of people in the alternative community are fighting over this in particular, about this being a controlled op thing, and that, you know, this is just a hoax or some shit like that, when this has been happening this whole damn time. So it really kind of strikes me as odd that suddenly everybody's saying that this is a hoax and we need to slow down and chill out. Definitely wait for the facts. Most certainly wait for the facts. There's nothing wrong with waiting for the facts. That is most certainly true. So don't take this as a, oh, you don't wait for the facts. Don't jump the gun, definitely. But after the amount of athletes we've been seeing go down on the field from cardiac arrest or, you know, other sort of blood cardiovascular related issues, it just strikes me really odd that suddenly this happened and this got a whole lot of popularity. And you know for sure, when the news has been avoiding certain subjects and then suddenly putting focus on a subject, you know they want you to look at this for a certain reason. What that reason is, I'm not sure. A lot of times it's a bait and switch, that's for sure. Because even during the whole fucking COVID pandemic thing, quite a few times, they would share truth, and then they would share a bunch of lies, and then they would share some truth, and then they would share a bunch of lies. And you have to be really careful. The more educated you get, especially when it comes with mind control tactics, and when you start really diving into things like occultism and natural law and things like that, all that they're trying to tell you is right in front of your eyes. Now, that's not to say that the news is all bullshit. It's a good portion of bullshit, but there's always a little bit of truth that they like to put in with the bullshit, and it's up to you to actually filter it out, because here's the issue. They can put the truth right in front of your eyes. However, they also do a lot of things like communicating through symbolisms, like through numbers. Whenever you look at a number, look at a specific number, and geometria, whatever it is that's pronounced, I always pronounce it wrong, gematria. I'm just going to say gematria. If you're laughing, you're listening and you know the actual pronunciation, don't laugh at me, but feel free to laugh at me. But when you do things like look at the numbers, look at the meaning, and look at what they reduce to, look at specific things in the articles, you'll start to pick up certain things that it's just like, wait a minute. You know, it's like when I listen to Mark Passio's podcast or Michael Cesarion, you'll find that like certain kinds of articles are posted during certain months, during certain days, during certain seasons, that it's always these certain things that are happening with these certain numbers. And it's just like, and then you got to listen to like the subject matter that's being spoken. A friend of mine, a little bit of a quick tangent here. A friend of mine, we were looking at the Aquarian Bible of Jesus, and she was watching this movie. What the hell movie was this called? I don't remember the name of the movie. It was like Witcher or something. I don't remember. But she was watching this movie, and she pointed out specifically that in the movie, they were talking about wars and things like that. And the guy in the movie was talking specifically about, oh, it's been about 80 years. You don't think something else is going to happen? And it finds it really weird because she started Googling, and she was just like, okay, 80 years. It's been about 80 years, not on the dot, but it's been around 80 years since World War II. We haven't really had anything significant outside of the Cold War that was like on a big, catastrophic, changing level, so to speak, since in a war, like a death and a renewal sense, since World War II. And the number 8, specifically in Bible speak, in Freemasonry speak, you know, shit like that, the number 8 specifically has to refer to, it refers to death and rebirth. It's that circle of life, that ultimate change, where like you can't stop it. It just is what it is. And there will be new systems, new things that come out of this. It's the ultimate death and rebirth. And it's no coincidence that 80 years after, we're starting to talk about the Great Reset. You know, this is what it is, the death and the rebirth of the system. This whole system that we are used to and we are addicted to, essentially now, with the Mon Eye, the money, and what it represents, it's coming to an end very, very soon. And I know there's a lot of people talking about their, like crypto, Proof talks about crypto stuff on his stuff. There's also a lot of people, like, you can follow, like, I can't even think of any names right now. But there's a lot of people who talk about crypto. And, like, you know, crypto is essentially the solution to the problem and the ultimate problem, where we have something that we place value on, which is to be determined and used as a means of exchange because it is simply based on value. However, it is not an actual physical product, whereas something like gold and silver is physical, but it cannot be used online. So we're kind of at a conundrum right now where a lot of people are just saying either go with crypto, go with actual goods, you know, things that are actually worth value, like, you know, food or clothing or, you know, things like that, and going back to barter, or then switching to gold and silver, because the fact that we have the fiat system that we currently have, it's not going to be around for much longer. They are purposefully trying to jack it up and destroy the whole damn thing to take everything that you have. And if you're at the top, you're going to be staying at the top. With the social credit score, if you're at the top, you're going to be caving to what these people want you to do. Otherwise, you're going to have everything taken away from you. When you're at the bottom, you've got no fucking choice. You've got no choice. You have nothing. And the entire system is built off of you relying on other people. This is the socialist communist system that they have tried to bring in. Now, again, with the truth and the lie, there is nothing wrong with living in community and living with other people. The problem is because we have centralized everything and because we have brought over control to a centralized system that is now run once again by the elite, who are a bunch of enlightened psychopaths, to put it nicely. They understand the occult. They understand symbolism. They understand the laws of the universe. And they're trying to tell you that the laws of the universe aren't actually the laws of the universe. Again, like we were talking about earlier in the show, being able to defend yourself. If somebody breaks in your fucking home, first of all, you have the right to have privacy and property. You have those rights. They are your fundamental freedoms. Okay, and don't let anybody try and tell you any sort of bullshit. We can get into some more philosophical and stuff and what is actually like your property and things later. You know, if people actually abided by personal property and were not doing it out of a state of greed, you know, that you had your little house and you lived in your community and you all just mind each other, you minded your own motherfucking business. You guys stayed out of everybody else's business unless, you know, there was a problem that was being caused, in which case you come together, you work on it, blah, blah, blah. Everybody has a meeting of the minds, et cetera, et cetera. You work it out, you heal, you go upon your way. Okay. But when they try to tell you that you do not have the right to protect yourself in your own fucking home? We got up. So Justin Trudeau not too long ago said on the news that in Canada, you are not allowed to protect yourself with a firearm. With a gun, you are not allowed to protect. Somebody comes and they can shoot you. They can shoot you. They're not supposed to, but they can because they do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, but they can and they do, okay? You're not allowed to break out your own fucking gun and protect yourself against this crazy wiener, okay? You're not allowed to do that because you will be charged if you do, which is so backwards. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. Not being able to use something like that as a tool to protect yourself when somebody can literally try to take your life from you using that exact same thing. Like, honestly, I joke you not. I joke you not, you guys, okay? Like, it's not, it's a thing. It's a thing here in Canada where you're better off. I'm not even kidding you, okay? If somebody breaks in your home and they try to kill you, you are better off shooting them, taking them out to the bush in the middle of nowhere, burying them and pretending they never existed. And hope you don't get caught. Because now with the forensics and stuff they have now, I mean, good luck. But you're better off shooting, shoveling, and shutting up than you are protecting yourself and letting them get away. I'm not kidding. That's how messed up it is here. Like, you want to make sure they're dead because dead men don't talk. Instead of being honorable and, like, you know, protecting yourself without actually trying to kill them, protecting yourself, and then getting help where help needs to be gotten. But no, you get in trouble for it. And they can say it's just with guns, but it's not just with guns. There was an article that I had read a while ago, okay? Actually, you know what? Let me Google it really quick and let's see if I can find it here. Excess. I'm trying to think of the word. Excess. Let's see. Here we go. There it is. I found it. See, this is so trash ass. I was so mad when I read this. Okay, hold on here. Okay, here we go. If you're listening, sit the fuck down because this is going to blow your damn mind, okay? This is how little rights you have in Canada to protect yourself. And don't let anybody tell you any different, okay? If you are from the United States and you are listening to this right now, do not, under any circumstances, let your government take away things like your castle doctrine, take away your ability to own a gun, even if it's for mental health sake, okay? Yeah, we know everybody's going crazy. Yeah, that's probably going to save people if the really crazy people don't have guns. But guess what? When they start with that shit, you're next. I know I haven't been in a situation that has affected me of that, so I'm sure I would be quite upset if somebody was crazy and then I had to deal with a situation of somebody, you know, dealing with that. Like, trust me, okay, I'm not in somebody's shoes, so if anybody hears this and they're like, oh my God, you've never had to deal with that, why would you say that? I'm already acknowledging I'm not in your shoes. However, when you start taking away people's ability to protect themselves, okay, you end up with shit like this. Let me read this to you. This is from CBC News, Manitoba. This is from 2019, last update of June 7, 2019. Okay, so this is fairly recent, last couple years. Manitoba man jailed after judge said justified self-defense went too far, killing home intruder. Okay, that's the title. Vincent Bunn was killed by Dakota Pratt during 2016 home invasion on Bird Tail Sioux First Nation. So not only did this happen in Canada, you guys, not only did this happen in Canada, this happened on a reserve. Okay? Okay. So number one, this tells you that number one, you don't have the ability to protect yourself. If you think even for a second that you are sovereign on the reserves, newsflash, you ain't. Canada owns your ass. The crown owns your ass. You are a ward of the crown. You are not able to make decisions on your own. And we are going to get into the white paper and some sort of indigenous agreement or something that they had at the United Nations or some shit. We're going to get into that in another time, but we don't have time today. I've gone over that in previous shows. However, I would like to go over it again because that information right now is more relevant now more than ever. So, continuing. Okay. A Manitoba judge says a man was justified in trying to defend himself from a late-night intruder, but sentenced him to jail time for killing the intruder when he took that defense too far. Dakota Pratt, 28, when sentenced on Thursday to years in prison after a jury at Brandon's Court of Queen's Bench found him guilty in April of manslaughter in the attack that killed Vincent Bunn. See, and, you know, I talk about things like jury nullification. Just another quickie side note here. Look up jury nullification, okay? If the jury actually had their head out of their ass, this man would have been walking free. But instead, he was tried by a jury of his peers who all had their head up their ass because of the socialist no natural law understanding. Just trash-ass human being minds, okay? And I get, like, the bleeding heart, blah, 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 but again, this man literally broke into this fucking man's home and tried to kill him in his sleep, okay? He tried to kill him in his sleep, okay? I would have been hopped up on adrenaline and trying to make sure this motherfucker didn't walk away, too. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Because if he's willing to do this to this guy, who the hell else is he willing to do this to? And yeah, sure, maybe he could have learned his lesson, but let's really be real. If you're going to go to this extent and do this to somebody you don't even freaking know, you just break into their house and try and do this to somebody, what are you willing to do to other people? The fact that you are willing to and made this choice, nah, brah, if I was on that jury, buddy would have walked free. There's no way. Ain't no way. Anyway, continuing. Court heard Bunn, 21, entered Pratt's home on Birdtail Sioux First Nation around about 115 kilometers northwest of Brandon, Manitoba, in the early morning of September 2nd, 2016. Pratt, who was asleep in a basement bedroom, awoke to a feeling of being stabbed in the head, court heard. He got up and found a knife-wielding intruder in his room, and, not knowing who the person was, chased him into the hallway. Mr. Pratt was the victim of an unprovoked assault and knew he was in a struggle for his own life. Court of Queen's Bench Justice Robert Cummings said in his sentencing decision. Okay, so the judge literally acknowledged that he was being assaulted by somebody he didn't know and that he was fighting for his life. Okay, continuing. A struggle ensued and continued through the home's main floor and then outside to the deck where Bunn was stabbed with his own knife 13 times according to the agreed upon facts read out by Cummings at Pratt's sentencing hearing. Told the final stab to Bunn's heart was the fatal one and that he was kicked a number of times afterward. It is unknown when exactly Pratt got Bunn's knife during the struggle. However, Pratt suffered significant blood loss and wounds to his scalp sometime during the incident. So not only did the judge acknowledge that dude was fighting for his life, he also endured significant blood loss and had wounds from this guy. And during the fight for the freaking knife, he got the knife away from Bun and started stabbing him because he had just been freaking, like, in an attempted scalping in his bedroom basement. Okay? Okay. Like, the judge is literally admitting all of this. He was justified in taking defensive action, but the jury has concluded that his taking the knife of Mr. Bun and stabbing him multiple times went beyond what was necessary for self-defense, Cummings said. Pratt's defense lawyer, Matt Gold, asked for a 3-year sentence. The Crown recommended a sentence of 8 years. With time served, Pratt will spend about 2.5 more years in jail. I was hoping for him to go home, Gold told CBC News. With a 3-year sentence, he would have been very, very close to going home. I thought it was a very understandable argument. It was a very clear case of self-defense, Gold said. This is not waking up to someone yelling at you. Someone's cutting his head open. That's somebody who's showing from the beginning how serious they are. Pratt was originally charged with manslaughter in Bun's death. A second-degree murder charge was laid following a preliminary hearing with the Crown rejecting his self-defense argument. At trial, the Crown told the jury there has been bad feelings between the two men, both of whom lived in Birdtail Sioux First Nation at the time, and jealousy surrounding a relationship. Both had been drinking prior to the attack, but at separate locations on the reserve. The Crown asserted that Bun was welcome in the house where the attack occurred based on testimony by Pratt's mother-in-law, who owned the home. Maybe, but the impression that was left with me was that he was welcome for supper or to visit, not live in the house, Cummings said. It was Mr. Pratt who had the legal right to sleep in his house. Mr. Bun arrived in the dead of night armed with a knife, the judge added. I'm unsure why the Crown had such a difficulty acknowledging these facts. The only witness to the fight was Pratt, court was told. He initially denied to police on numerous occasions that a knife was used in an attack, which Cumming called a concerted effort to lie about what happened on the deck. The Crown stated that this was clearly false, but the other parts of his statement should be accepted as true because they were against Mr. Pratt's interest. This is coming. I do not follow the logic of this argument. So they're trying to say that because these people knew each other, and this was jealousy over a relationship, and they had been drinking, and they had bad feelings. If anything, that shows that there's intent. That he wasn't just trying to hit up some random guy. That he was purposefully trying to hurt and or kill somebody over the jealousy of a relationship. Rather than square up in a parking lot like real men do, nah. He decided to do this. Oh boy. If anything, this just supports the self-defense even more. Court was told a considerable amount of Pratt's blood was found in his bedroom following the attack, partially corroborating his version of the events and that he was acting in self-defense. Well, yeah, you literally got woke up being scalped, but, you know, whatever. Not like, you know, that isn't something that happens every day. Logic suggests that there is an intruder in the house that would make good sense to ascertain the identity of the intruder and ensure that he is expelled from the house, Cummings said in his decision. There is no reliable evidence to determine when Mr. Pratt had possession of the knife, but it is certain that he did become the aggressor and go beyond what was necessary to do and finish. Well, Cummings said while some of the violence can be explained by the sudden nature of Bun's initial attack on Pratt, he repeated stabbing and kicking and took it too far. Literally broke into his fucking home. first thing in the morning and tried to take his fucking skill. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the shit that they're trying to convince you. This is the shit that they're trying to tell you, that you're not allowed to defend yourself. And how dare you fight for your own life? How dare you fight for your own fucking life? Court was told Pratt suffered various traumas over his life, including sexual and physical abuse, as well as issues with substance abuse, and showed remorse for the killing. His only prior conviction was for an assault. He understood that at the end of the day, somebody died, and he was responsible for that. And this really came down to why Gould said. Pratt had been in custody since the attack, at times in segregation for his own safety after being bullied by other inmates, Court was told. Outside court, one sibling said they're glad the trial and sentencing are finally over. It was very hurtful. His sister, Tiffany Bunn, said the 10-day trial, it was hard, it was tough. That's our brother. His life is gone now because of Dakota, said Alicia Benn, who is also one of Vincent Bunn's sisters. Her last name has been spelled differently than her brother's. I felt like the judge is giving her family a fairly hard time in sentencing and the trial and everything. They remember their brother as funny, caring man. He was a happy person, said Ben. He was very funny, a great guy. He was always outgoing, said Bunn's brother, Nicholas Ben. He could always bring a smile to your face. Here in court, they showed his bad side of the choices he made, his mistakes. But through all of that, he was a really good guy. The siblings are satisfied their brother's killer will spend more time behind bars. Holy fuck. Like, you can't actually be serious right now. Okay, not to, like, completely destroy this guy. He may have been funny, okay? He may have been a great guy to some people, for the most part, okay? That may have very well been the case. However, he made a really fucking stupid decision. And if he was that great of a guy, he wouldn't have made that stupid of a decision, okay? Don't make mistakes when they roll up into somebody else's home in the middle of the fucking night and try to scalp them. That's not a mistake, okay? That wasn't a mistake. That was on purpose. That was on purpose. And the fact that you're mad at the man who defended himself against this man, this Bunn, who tried to literally kill him, very least, severely hurt him, you need to get your shit together. That's not to say you can't hurt. That's not to say that you can't be upset that he was killed, okay? That shit sucks. That was your family member, okay? Your feelings are valid. Your experiences are valid, okay? But being mad that he was killed over him trying to literally attempt to severely hurt or kill somebody else? Like, is that a joke? And this whole article breeds lack of knowledge and care for natural law. Because it would have been an entirely different situation if they had been fist fighting and somebody fucking broke out a knife. If they had lived together, they were fist fighting or something over this chick and somebody broke out a knife, that would be a different situation. It would be a different situation if, I mean, there's a million and one other things that could have happened. But the fact is, this happened, and he literally took it upon himself to go into somebody else's home on a reserve to do this. Blatant disregard for natural law from the Canadian justice system. And to be honest, I'm really disappointed in reading the quotes that allegedly came from the fan out, because we already know that CBC also lies and twists shit. CBC also just got caught getting a bunch of funding to twist the fucking coronavirus shit and the Freedom Convoy the trucker convoy in Canada, they got busted red-handed, taking a bunch of money and spinning a bunch of stories and doing a bunch of dirty shit. Okay, so CBC, don't rely entirely on CBC because CBC lies through its teeth all the time. They are a government-funded propaganda machine, through and through, 110%. There are your guys's, like, the American CNN is like Canada's CBC, okay? CBC is a propaganda machine for the government, point blank, and they pretend to be nonpartisan. Also, they're fucking liars, okay? They're liars. Total propaganda machine. So you can only take what this news story has with a grain of salt. I don't exactly know if that's exactly how the family felt, but if what they say here is true, y'all need to take a second look at yourself, because this is the kind of shit that ends up rolling in the chaos. And when people cannot conduct themselves accordingly, when the government tells you how you're supposed to conduct yourself accordingly, even though a lot of times it'd be some bullshit, and then when you're not allowed to defend yourself, especially in what's supposed to be called sovereign land, like, people do not understand how dangerous this really truly is. They don't get it. Okay, we're going to take our final break here, and then we're going to be back, and then we're going to chat a bit more, and then we're going to head off for the night. So I will see you guys after the break.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Barefaces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Tune in to the show, The Right View, every Friday from 6 to 9 p.m.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
We've taught the world to sing.
drinks, fat as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Won't be cool.
Diabetes is here to stay. That's a real thing. What the world
Okay, we are back with Open World. We are down to the last 30 minutes of the show today here, and oh my goodness, oh my goodness. This stuff be wild, yo. This stuff be wild, yo. Oh my goodness. I gotta come up with like a little jingle or something to throw up on that kind of thing. It's just absolutely nuts, though. That's all I gotta say. Taking another quickie scroll through Twitter here. I have a million one things that I could... What is this? 6 hours ago, the Insider paper. New Russia shot down suspected UFO. Rostov Oblast governor report says. Well, I don't think that's a UFO, but whatever they shot down, that's going to be really fucking interesting. In honor of January 6th, libs of TikTok, in honor of January 6th, here's some insane images of the absolute destruction and chaos. Just kidding. This is from the BLM. This is when BLM burned down our country for 6 months. Yeah, that was quite interesting. That was quite interesting, especially since like Candace Owens came out and she made a whole documentary now that Black Lives Matter was like basically embezzling all that money, and the little bit that they did actually donate to, they were for like LGBTQ communities that were Black people only. So, I mean, that would be expected that it's like Black Lives Matter. You would expect that they would be donating the money to, you know, colored communities, but I would have thought that they would have actually donated to like business owners, or like, you know, single family households, broken families, you know, people who had just got out of jail that want to make their life right and actually want to do something with themselves. They realize they fucked up. They don't want to be a gangbanger no more. You know, things like that, especially things like Black-owned businesses. Like, and there wasn't even a penny put toward Black-owned businesses. Not even just new ones, but like the businesses that were destroyed during the riots that were Black-owned. They didn't get even a penny either. So how are you going to sit there and say that Black Lives Matter, but you aren't even willing to take the money that you raised claiming Black Lives Matter and not even put a single penny into the Black lives that are trying to make something of themselves and make something of their community? If the whole thing is about white supremacy and blah, 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 would you not want to take and invest in the Black people too? That's another story for another time. Because we're gonna have to go over this documentary when I can get my hands on it when it's out, and we're gonna have to go over that. We're gonna have to look at that because yeah, it's been interesting. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Holy crap! So if you didn't hear what's been going on with Jordan Peterson. That has been a total crapshoot in and amongst itself. Essentially, because Jordan Peterson likes to rock the boat. And honestly, I watched like a lot of his videos. Like his tweets are kind of like, bleh. You know, it's really hard to convey a message appropriately in a tweet. Because when you've only got a limited amount of characters, it's like 180 characters, some shit that you're allowed to use, it's really hard to try and convey an appropriate message that's going to really resonate with the biggest amount of people. You need to be able to actually have time to articulate your thoughts in an appropriate manner and to have that meeting of the mind. So Twitter just doesn't cut it. Twitter is just like a clout chasing notice board. Not even a forum. Even a forum does better than this. Even Facebook does better than this when they're not trying to freaking censor you. But So the Psychologists Association, or whatever the fuck they're known as in Canada, I'm not even going to try. I'm just butchering that right now because I don't even care. Y'all will know what I'm talking about. If you Google it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But the people who licensed Jordan Peterson, they now want him to come under review for the remarks that he's making about Justin Trudeau, because they're unhinged, essentially, from their perspective. They're not professional, and they don't represent the organization. Here's the problem. Here's the problem that we have with that. Is because a lot of the things that they have been pushing are not even scientific to begin with. A lot of the things they've been pushing are underway for scientific study. The LGBTQ movement, in particular, getting kids to transition, and there are a lot of people, both trans and straight, and other people from the community that have been talking about this, and they're saying, like, enough is enough. Enough is enough. That this is happening the way it's happening, and children are being harmed by this, and there are so many children and young adults coming out now that are starting to detransition because of the things that they have been experiencing that they weren't told about. There are people who are happy being trans that have gone through things like the surgeries that they were not told about. Adia Danielle is one of the trans individuals. I don't really care for a lot of her. I don't really care for a lot of, like, the way she presents herself. She kind of comes across as, like, kind of a little snooty, and I don't mean to, like, shit on her in that way. I like her content. I like her makeup. I like her TikToks. Is she somebody I could see myself being friends with? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know her personally to be able to definitively say that I would like her or wouldn't like her. I don't follow her because I hate her. That much is for certain, because I like a lot of her content. I just disagree with some of the things she says and disagree with some of the things she does. But she recently came out with a TikTok, two of them actually, and she was talking about how she regrets her surgery. Not that she got the surgery and regrets getting an outie turned into an innie. She regrets the procedure that she had done because she ended up as one of the unlucky ones with a lot of complications. And, you know, a lot of times we like to think that everything's going to be fine. And a lot of times things are fine, and a lot of times they're not. And there's no way to predict whether things are going to be fine or whether they're not. And that's why informed consent is so incredibly important. And you cannot give informed consent when you are in the middle of a bloody experiment. That's why when they say, oh, this, you know, COVID vaccine, blah, blah, it's safe and effective. Really? Because they're not even ending the study until June or July 2023. We're still in study phase, folks. So how are you going to say something is safe and effective when we're still literally in the middle of a study? But there's a lot of things going on with that that, you know, we can talk about on another day. But regardless, Adia went through the surgery, the down below surgery, and now she's experiencing complications that she should not be experiencing at this point. And she had to get a second surgery in order to fix things to make it a little bit better. And at least I think she did. I know she was talking one about having to have another surgery. I don't know if she did or not, so don't quote me on that. I think she did, but so far as I know, she did. But that I may very well be wrong. But she was talking about that she wasn't informed. She was not informed about these possible outcomes. And had she been informed about these possible outcomes outside of having to dilate once a week and shit like that, you know, the immediate repercussions, not the long-term possible go-wrong repercussions, that she would have chosen a different surgery altogether, because the surgery style that she got did not suit well with her body. It didn't work. Now she's facing more complications. And I saw another woman, I don't know her name, pretty black lady, But she also got the surgery. Same thing with her. Had she known that the complications she was going to go through that she's experiencing right now, she would not have chose the exact surgery she chose. She would have chose a different style of surgery. Because once upon a time, there was only one kind. Now there's like multiple kinds of surgery that you can get for the downstairs. She would not have chose that one. She would have chose a different one. Or gotten everything removed altogether. And now she is suffering with complications and she has to deal with this shit and blah, blah, blah. And I cannot help but feel sorry for these trans women, these ladies that are going through this shit that they were not told from their fucking doctors. Because, yeah, sure, the doctors might not deal with this on a regular basis. This might be a rare thing, but the fact is, it still fucking happens. It still happens. And these ladies ended up the unlucky few, and apparently it's becoming way more common than we thought it was, because when I was looking through Adia's comments, she had a lot of trans ladies that were also commenting saying that they were experiencing something either the same or similar. They were experiencing complications, and there was a lot of things they were not told about. They are now having to deal with, and had they known, they may have, like, some of them may not have ever even gone through the surgery at all. Like Blair White. I really like Blair White. I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with everything she does, but, you know, that's Blair. That's, you know, who she is and what she does. Welcome to being human and being different. But that's why she has talked about how she has thought about it, but at this current time, she does not plan on getting the downstairs surgery because of things like this, because of possible complications. And not only that, your depression, they've actually studied, and people who get the downstairs surgery often suffer with even more depression afterward, because there's a lot of issues such as, you know, obviously things like sterilization will occur, because if you're getting everything turned this and turned that, you know, blah, 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 there's a possibility that, you know, I mean, you're being literally, if you're going from male to female, you're literally being sterilized. You're literally cutting your balls off. Or, like, you know, things like that. Like, a lot of cases they do. And it's like, you know, you're going to be on hormones and things for the rest of your life. If the surgery is botched, there's going to be that. If you got to go in for another surgery, there's that. And then a lot of times, actually quite frequently, which is really unfortunate, when they start fiddling around, because there's so many nerve endings and everything down there, and because it was made to be a certain way, if you start, you know, with the technology they have now, maybe if we start growing like penises and petri dishes or something, that might change in the future. But as it stands right now, people are essentially experiments that they're just trying to come up with things that, you know, would make people happy. A lot of times they lose things like sensation down below, so they lose the interest in things like sex because they can't feel anything. They have the bits and pieces, but they can't feel anything. So, like, to go from being able to experience, you know, that kind of pleasure with your partner to not being able to feel anything at all, like, that's going to really make you depressed. It really, really is. You know, it's really, really sad, to be honest, that these people are experiencing these kinds of consequences. And a lot of times they didn't even fucking know that this was going to be a consequence. They weren't informed. So therefore, not only are they depressed that they experienced these consequences, but they didn't know that these were going to be the consequences. And now and it's irreversible. They can't change it. Now they've got to go ahead and live with who they are and what they are for the rest of their life. And sometimes it might even be painful. It might even be painful. See, when you get your outside turned inside, you have to dilate once a week for, like, the rest of your life, because it's essentially an open wound that they're trying to keep open. When you're biologically born that way, for the most part, there might be exceptions where, you know, that might be a problem, but when you're biologically born that way, it was literally made that way so it has all the mechanisms and all the hormones and everything in place to actually keep it the way it is. When you change something, when your DNA makeup, your biology is literally made to be a certain way, and then you go ahead and you change this, you know, to something else, you're going to have to do maintenance on making it a thing. And if you stop doing that maintenance for whatever reason, there could be a chance that things could backfire. Like, honest to God, like, I genuinely worry for trans women who got the surgery, whether they G transition back to men or whether they continue to be women, I don't really care. But when these people reach an elderly age, like, and they can't dilate themselves anymore, like, what's that going to look like? Like, say, for example, somebody develops, like, something like dementia or something, and they don't remember they were a woman or something like that. Like, is this going to be the healthcare staff's job, the nursing staff's job, to dilate them, like, once a week? Or if they can't do that, are they going to have to go through another surgery to have to remove all this? And when you're in your elderly years, it's going to take you a long time to recover, if you recover. And if you recover, it's going to recover without complications. Like, you know, that whole thing is just, oh my goodness, like, it's really scary to think about. And I mean, I guess if somebody's willing to accept the consequences of their actions and know that that could be a problem in the future, that's entirely up to them. I don't really care. It's your body. You do what you want with it. You know, I mean, I would just hope that you have the best care that you require to help you along your journey, both mentally and physically. You know, and if that's going to make you genuinely feel better, if you know 110% deep down that this is going to make you feel more comfortable and happy in your skin, and you're willing to accept the consequences of, you know, what comes out of it, as long as, like, you know, like, again, like Adia Danielle, like, she said she would change the surgery. She is not happy with what surgery she had because of the complications she had, but she does not regret the surgery itself. That has changed her life and made her so happy. And I am so glad that she is so happy that, you know, things like that have essentially changed her life. That is essentially like what people would call life-saving healthcare. And you can agree to disagree if you really want this. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that disagree with this, but guess what? She's a grown-ass adult. She can make this decision for herself. Whether or not people agree with the healthcare, it being paid for here in Canada, that's an entirely different debate. But the fact is, she did get the surgery, and it has made her happier, which is way awesome. And I'm glad she was able to achieve as much as she could to the standard of care that we currently have, to achieve, you know, that whole making the outside look like the way the inside feels. That makes me happy, because I know there are certain things in my life, not necessarily in that, but there are certain things in my life that it makes me happy when people get on board with me, you know, with those kinds of things. That it's like, you know, even talking about things like as simple as morality and stuff like that, or the way I wish to be identified, being outside of the system and things like that, it makes me happy when somebody gets on board. Because it shows to me that not only do they respect me, it shows to me that, you know, they can also begin to understand what I'm trying to say. And they may disagree with what I'm trying to say, but they respect me nonetheless with what I'm trying to do. And some people are willing to help me on my endeavor, and some people make my life way more difficult. It's the ones that, you know, help me, that, like, really help me go forward and to be a better being than I was yesterday. I know a lot of that work comes from me working on myself kind of thing, but, you know, to have those steps up with people always just, it just makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing what the new year brings, because it is now 2023. There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff happening, especially with central banks switching to their own quote-unquote crypto. It's not really a crypto, but they're switching to that. And with the state of the world that is today, I look forward to taking action and actually hoping to make change in not only my life, but positive change in other people's lives, because I think that's what we really all really truly need right now, is we need to find the power within ourselves to actually, like, go forward and make that change. And then secondarily, to have people in our corner that it's like, not only are they willing to help you, but they're willing to call you out on your shit at the same time. Because, like, I mean, that is the difference of opinion. And when you're seeing things from another perspective, that's going to help you get to where you are, as difficult that is. And it's really freaking hard a lot of times to see other people's perspectives and put yourself in somebody else's shoes, especially when, like, you're meant to be in your shoes, you know. But at the same time, you know, we're part of that collective consciousness. We are an individual expression of a collective consciousness. And that is so wild and so incredible, but so difficult at the same time. It is just, it's some next level shit. That's all I can say, is that it's just some next level shit to really truly sit down and actually think about that. It's like, whoa, like, you know, but yeah, it's definitely interesting nonetheless. So, alrighty, so I think I'm going to head out here today, said all this and everything I need to say. I look forward to joining you on Fridays here or there when I can make it, and thank you for listening to the show today, and I hope you guys have a very super happy fun time Friday, and enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. Make sure you get lots of rest, and have fun. Things are only going to get crazier, so, you know, enjoy the little things and make sure you spend a lot of time being thankful for the things you do have and the things you once had and for the things to come. It's going to be an interesting, interesting ride. So we only have each other, so let's make the best of it and try to support each other and love each other the best of our ability, and move forward and build a better world. Okay, I will talk to you guys later. Bye.